Real estate is the biggest polluter in Europe, with around one-third of greenhouse gas emissions. Awareness of the environmental emergency has accelerated with the pandemic. Like other profound transformations in society, such as generalization of remote working, the residential distance from city centers to improve living comfort, the development of e-commerce. All these major trends are changing the real estate landscape, and today we have brought together three experts to decrypt them and also understand how these transformations impact investment decisions, financing criteria, and how the financial sector is underlining environmental and social aspects through the famous ESG criteria. Irène Fossé, thank you for being here today with us.
Thank you very much.
You are Director of Research and Strategy at AEW. Serge, you are Executive Director of Real Estate and Hospitality Industry Group at Natixis CIB.
Good morning, Hélène.
Thierry, you are Director of ESR at AEW.
Good morning.
We will begin with you, Irène, and could you explain us the macro trends on the real estate sector?
Thank you very much for the introduction. So it's true that the COVID pandemic has accelerated a number of structural trends that existed before COVID, such as e-commerce. But we expect the situation to normalize in 2022. So, for instance, we expect footfall in stores to recover. What we've learned with this pandemic is that every time restrictions were lifted, footfall recovered, which really showed how consumers were attached to physical stores. However, the share of online sales is expected to continue to increase and is expected to reach 15% of total sales in France in 2022. So a number of retailers, notably in the fashion industries, are having a difficult time, but a number of omni-channel retailers have really successfully integrated their online and offline platforms. The development of e-commerce has also led to a surge in demand for logistics space, where we see rental values increasing as a result of this increasing demand, but also as a result of more limited supply. And this is due to environmental regulation, especially on land take, which is the amount of land, of natural land, which is being converted into built surfaces.
A boom in logistics, but resilience on retail. And what about remote working impact on the office sector and on the residential sector?
It's true that working from home has become very common, but mostly in a hybrid format with 1 or 2 days per week done remotely rather than 100% working from home. And this is confirmed by the data on weekly commutes in public transport. But let's keep in mind that even in the Paris region, only 40% of workers can work from home. Companies have adapted their real estate strategies and are favoring even more than before very central, accessible locations, which is increasing the polarization of the market between these very accessible locations in central Paris, for instance, and more peripheral locations. What we have also noticed is that companies care even more about the well-being of their employees, how they can cycle to work, and also try to favor as much as possible communal space to favor interactions. Companies are indeed worried about the long-term effects of working from home on the feeling, the attachment to the company, on, to facilitate the onboarding of new employees, as well as the intellectual stimulation that you can have in the office when teams work together. When it comes to the impact on the residential market, the impact has been quite limited. There is no urban exodus. There is still a very sharp shortage of housing in key metropolitan areas. And this has an impact on both prices and rents.
Thank you, Irène. Serge, from a market perspective, do you see trends emerging within your clients?
Yes, of course. As lenders, we observe the same kind of trends as we rely by definitions on our clients' investment strategy. We can, however, choose to be aggressive in some areas and not in others. We indeed notice a surge in interest from institutional investors on residential assets as the yield gap with other asset classes decreased a lot on the past decade. Logistics as well are the big winner of recent years, with a spectacular increase in prices and possible leverage and a strong pressure on financing margins. We clearly understand the underlying trend with e-commerce development, but we also have skepticism on this asset class at such pricing levels. Conversely, we continue to finance retail assets. Of course, we have to be careful on the type of retail. Finance with lower leverage, higher margins, but we really think in-store shopping will survive, and the sanitary crisis clearly showed that once reopened, consumers were back in shops.
So high prices for logistics and confidence for retail and for office real estate. Do you see the same trends emerging?
Yes, on offices, we hear a lot of questioning, of course, on the impact of home office development on future demand. But at the same time, office remains the most liquid real estate asset class with a deep investment market and a strong competition on core assets. Of course, we need to be even more careful today on location, accessibility, modernity, flexibility, and ESG elements on the buildings, as we expect more and more polarization on the market.
One of the key transformation of the society emerging from the pandemic is also the growing awareness of environment emergency. Thierry, could you tell us more about how investors take into account this ESG criteria in their policies?
I would say that we observe more than a growth and hysteria around ESG topics, more and more expectation from the civil society, more and more demands from the investors. The pandemic demonstrates the importance of environmental topics and the connection between environment and the economic. We observe the judicialization of the ESG expectation, with more and more trials all around the world for states or even companies. And I would say the creation of a notion of responsibility of investors. At the beginning, in the Paris Agreement, it was just asked to be compatible with the targets of the Paris Agreement. Now, the European Commission is looking for private capital to finance the ecological transition, around 180 billion euros per year until 2050. At the same time, the European Commission is implementing a regulatory framework on sustainable finance with two main targets: to struggle against greenwashing, and that is also linked to the responsibility of investors, and also to finance the ecological transition by defining what is a green asset. It's the main goal of the taxonomy regulation. How are ESG criteria taken into account by the real estate industry? I would say first, it's the consideration around decarbonization, as it's a global priority for all human activity, so decarbonization, but also adaptation to climate change, knowing that climate change is already there. Also, the biodiversity criteria is growing because of the connection between biodiversity and health and economy, but also because biodiversity is more and more required by the occupiers. It's linked with health and well-being. And I would say the third criteria would be the social criteria, which is composed of well-being inside the building, and for example, air quality or water quality, but also the access to biodiversity, as I was saying. And the last one would be the services inside the building, to see the building more like an experience for the occupiers, to have more and more services.
So high expectations. And regarding the shortages on the raw materials, does it have an impact on the real estate
a huge impact because there's a disorganization of the supply chain due to the pandemic and to the recovery, quick recovery, and also due to the cost of energy. And that provoked an increase of the material costs, including sand, metals, woods, with a huge impact on the cost of construction and also the provoking delay on the sites and also for the health of the work companies. It's a concern. And it strengthened and comforted all the circular economy initiative that was already in the real estate industry, but it is reinforced, and also it appears in the European regulation, specifically in the taxonomy.
Thank you very much, Thierry. Serge, how do you integrate these high expectations from civil society, regulators, investors, in the financial criteria?
I really think Natixis has been a pioneer on that field with strong ambitions at the bank level and the implementation of concrete operational tools to achieve it with the development of what we call the green weighting factor within the CIB. In a nutshell, it's a tool that was developed for front officers, allowing them to assess the transaction's greenness, implying an improvement or a decline of the transaction internal profitability. This will naturally push teams to originate greener transactions.
So a colorization of real estate financings, depending on their environmental impact and in order to prioritize the financing of ethical assets, that's it. And how is it concretely applied?
Yes, Mon. To simply to assess the greenness of a transaction, front officers need to answer a few specific questions on CO2 emission per square meter, on labels, year of construction or big refurbishment. This questionnaire is the result of a deep analysis made by real estate financing experts and ESG specialists based on local legislation, market standards, labels. And this was done country by country. Even if nothing is forbidden in terms of financing, the idea here is to be able to monitor and improve our exposures on a portfolio basis over time. One last remark, maybe on general corporate purpose financing. We implement a lot for REITs, so the real estate companies. We are now systematically integrating structures in our financings to motivate our clients to reduce their CO2 emission per square meter. If they achieve the agreed target, they will benefit from a margin reduction, and if not, a margin increase. CO2 emission is the main indicator, but we can also add other indicators like a certain level of certification, a GRESB minimum rating, or even employee wellness.
We are almost done with this podcast today. Thank you all for your explanations. I would like to ask you a more personal question. You all know the sentence from Le Petit Prince, Little Prince from Saint-Exupéry, draw me a ship. I would ask you, draw me a house. How do you imagine in two words the city of the future? Irene?
So a word that often comes to mind is resilience. Cities will have to become more resilient in a context of increased climate risks. I think in particular about summer temperature and air quality. Cities will also have to become more resilient to take into account evolving needs, for instance, by favoring housing developments over office developments. Another idea is that cities will have to grow in a more conscious way, using less energy but also less land. What is at stake is really to improve and green the existing stock rather than systematically build from scratch, and also by recycling materials as much as possible.
Serge, how do you imagine in two words?
Yes, I would say decentralized and greener, the two words that come to my mind when I try to imagine the city in the future. Decentralized because the workplace has mechanically lost importance. When you had only your office in the past, now you have your office and somewhere else that competes. This somewhere else being all the other places where it's possible to telework, your home, your secondary house, the cafe next door. This new flexibility will obviously change the relation we have with our office space and also the place we live in. The second word without a lot of originality would be greener, but the trend is so deep that we can't imagine the city of the future without mentioning it. Real estate will have to accompany what we currently live in large cities with the reduction in the number of polluting cars, the pedestrianization of city center. Certain new teams also are emerging, like people's well-being or biodiversity.
Okay, thank you, Serge. So you, Iren, is resilience and sobriety. Serge, decentralization and green. Thierry? What about your two words for the city of the future?
Connected and efficient. Connected with the environment. It means that we'll have to choose the location of the cities, taking into account the climate change, because we know that the consequences of climate change won't be the same depending on the location. If you're near the sea or near the water, you won't have the same risk. It's also a city not too big, an average city, because you know that you have more negative externalities with big cities, and efficient, because we'll have to improve the management of all the flows of the cities. The food, the energy, the transport, whatever, and for that we will need IT tool to increase the efficiency of the management of all those flows.
Thank you all for all your explanations and giving us a more positive view of the future for real estate.